you're trying to make it the school system at home. It's not that. It doesn't need to be that.
No, it can just be whatever. I've been into the whole kind of unschooling thing. I've been sort of into that for a long time. Before I had kids, I just was interested and I would read books about it all the time. And especially seeing like our house with just the way my partner is, the way my stepson is, like the two of them, they're always learning. They're always doing things. They're always doing projects. I just feel like school is basically a machine and a system to teach people to serve capitalism. And I'm not sure he learns that much there.
These are practical conversations about real life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry. Back to school means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. As we enter this next season of life, we connect about what's happening throughout the school systems, what's happening with the looming election, and how these intricate facets of life are colliding and collapsing at once.
Okay, so because summer is coming to a close, and we're getting into the juicy kind of fall energy, which is like a back to school energy. I always find it to be better than January. You know, it's like, okay, I want to, like, I'm going to buy my little notebooks, even though I'm not a child. I don't go to school anymore. But, you know, I want to get organized. I want to integrate whatever I learned through all these eclipses from the summer or whatever the heck happened, because summer always has a ton of stuff. So what's going on with everybody? We haven't chatted in a couple of weeks. What's going on with fall coming? AC, I know you got stuff you're working on and the rest of us have kids going back to school. Where's everybody at?
I mean, my kids stayed here. They started today. Today was the first day of school.
Today was the first day of school.
Yeah, no, they didn't go. I woke them up and then they brushed their hair and logged onto their computers.
All the hair at the Kenna house.
They were like, oh, I'm very tired because, you know, we haven't gotten up before 11 a.m. in 3 months. And then they had school. And then I was like, oh, and you're just still here now. This is what we're doing. This is our new life.
Well, that's cool that they're still there. Like here, they're sending kids back to school and there's no plans. It just falls on the teachers. And It is the most ridiculous. Like it's so intense that it's like, for me, a 6-2 call, something to get me almost off the roof to talk about. It's that scary.
Yeah.
And the biggest-
What do you mean there's no plan?
Literally, it's like the school system is like, go figure it out. And these teachers are basically going to be maids and cleaning everything and trying to teach and trying to police the kids to not touch and keep their sanity. So It's doesn't feel good here right now. But it's a super complex situation because there are kids who that going to school is the only way they eat. Or parents have to go back to work because otherwise they don't make money. They lose their house. They can't, their kid has nowhere to live, but it's also incredibly unsafe. And from everything that I'm observing, we're kind of applauding these professional athletes for taking their space and not going back to their sport if it doesn't feel safe. And we're applauding them. And the teachers who are saying, hey, we don't want to go back. Everybody's like, you're a wuss. You're pathetic. Go do your job. And it's like, really showing what we prioritize. Yeah, it's kind of extreme.
Yeah, that's interesting because that's not what's happening here in Florida. At least I just was very broad when I said Florida. I should have said Monroe County where I live. But because we, firstly, our school start dates and whether or not we return to school was determined by the health department and the school board. They formed like a team. And so we're all home right now. Everybody in the county is home and we will be home until at least September 11th. And at that time, if we've had cases go down and stay down for 2 weeks straight, then they'll return to in-person school. However, like at least my daughter's school has the two younger ones, they go to charter school. They've set up outdoor learning environments. They have small cohorts. I mean, we've hired like 15% more staff so that the teachers are not having to do those types of things. You know, there's extra custodial people. There's, you know, but my school's a charter school.
What does that mean? I have no idea what charter school means.
A charter charter schools typically are schools that are, they're not private, they're public schools, and they take money from the federal government, some of it, and then they use that money to do a school their own way. So it's kind of controversial for some public school teachers. They think charter schools are the devil and they're ruining everything. But our school is wonderful because it's based, they have a community partner, and our community partner is the military, because Key West is a military town. So we and our principal and director she gets tons of grants and tons of money outside of the federal government. So we're a marine science based school, and we have, you know, we do a lot of fun stuff over there. Like, they're on it.
Well, it sounds like it, probably everywhere is different, and that's what's confusing. And I was even talking to like a splenic projector friend who doesn't have kids, and she was like, "Oh, I just heard that the schools were opening and kids were going back." And I thought, "Oh, good." You know, because when you're not necessarily in that, it's like you don't have all the information, or you're not focused on it. But it's for me, I can't see a safe way. I can't see how it will be safe to send kids back, especially little kids. Like, I have a kindergartner. Like, these kids lick each other. And like, COVID tag, you know, like, I don't see how, and think of these poor teachers trying to like keep these kids kind of organized. So I decided to homeschool. We're homeschooling this year because it just doesn't feel safe and it feels uncertain. I recognize that it's a privilege to homeschool. You know, a lot of people don't have that situation. They need to go to their job. But what I'm learning through this is that we really prioritize money over kids. Like, we do not respect kids at all in global culture. I would honestly say it like that. And we're really trapped in that because we want to keep our kids safe. We know that. Kids, it doesn't matter if you have kids, the kids of the world, we want to keep them safe. And we can't do that. We're just sending them back to school in a lot of cases because the parents have to go back to work because they have to make money to take care of their kids. So we're trapped in this unhealthy setup, really.
I mean, I feel you on some of that, but just having three kids at home now for 6 months, my older two are fine being home. My youngest daughter is struggling. I mean, she's struggling. She wants to get the hell out of here and be social. She's my 4-6.
I think most kids are like that.
And so I think that there's a huge part of that piece too. At least that's what's coming down from the top in our school district. Like, hey, these kids need one another and they need us. They need to be like engaging with other adults that are not just their parents, you know, up their asses all day long.
And other kids, like, they need to be with kids.
And other kids. Yeah, they need to be with kids. And for some kids, I mean, it's not safe to be at home.
No, that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other piece to this. Totally.
And I understand the safety issues and having the teachers be comfortable. I mean, that's would be terrible to have to go to your job and feel stressed out all day. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
This is the point. We don't have an answer. We don't have a solution. All options are literally not good. We've known forever that the school system shouldn't have 30 kids per class. We've known all these problems and we've done nothing about it. And now it's like, oh, let's put them in cohorts. Well, what if they're not with their friends? And what if these kids, little kids, are so desperate for kid interaction, they rush to see their friends and they're hugging and they're doing, you know, they're playing like kids will, and they are germ incubators. Because kids go to school, they come the first month, they're all so sick because they're all in with germs. And now it's just a whole new layer to that, a whole new level to that. I think, I don't think the solution is everybody homeschooling. I don't think that's realistic. But I don't see the solution. And the way it's literally called the school system. I don't see a way that system can change, but I know it doesn't work. It's not working because even how kids slip through the cracks, how there's this testing of kids to make them at a certain, you know, are they at a baseline? Who's making these tests? Like, the whole thing, the whole school system needs to be reevaluated. I think we're learning everything in life needs to be reevaluated. We're a different world now. All the things we used to be doing obviously need to adjust. But there's been a huge lack of leadership on this subject. And like, parents who've been home with their kids for the whole summer, like Jasmine, like 6 months, you know, there's a part that's like, oh my God, I want my life to go back to normal, but that literally can't happen. There is no new normal. And then you look to leadership. It sounds like it's going at where you're from. It's like, okay, We have a plan. High school kids, you know, are doing this. Younger kids are doing that. But then from students in my own school who are teachers, a lot of them have been reaching out to me and saying like, thanks for talking about this because I'm not allowed to talk about this. If I talk about this, I'm immediately placed under review. And then we all saw that high school student who showed the hallways with kids shoulder to shoulder and no masks, and she was suspended. So we're silencing students and we're silencing teachers. How the hell are we going to get the information we need about what's actually happening in the school if we're silencing people? Have we not learned yet that we shouldn't be silencing people? Like, how many times do we have to learn this in how many different facets of life before we learn it never goes well? It leads us to all our problems. Everything has been prioritized around money and what will make the most money, 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 money. It's always about that. And open up the economy.
And it's money for a very small amount of people too.
A very small amount of people. How, through this pandemic, have the poor gotten poorer and the rich gotten richer? Billionaires are getting richer. How is this happening? How is this happening? So the people have to start to realize we have a lot of fucking power. And when we do things in numbers, that's when we change the system. When we don't put our kids in school, if we have the privilege to not put our kid in a dangerous environment, use that privilege. We're learning everything that we've been learning about privilege. Use that privilege. Keep your children home if you can. If enough people do that, that sends a massive message. If we start doing things in numbers, just like that, as an example, in other areas of life, it starts to send a message. If everybody, for example, stops buying gasoline cars, the car companies have to make a different type of car. Otherwise, they won't survive because they're money driven. So as soon as we just understand how this works and how to use it to our advantage, we can start to get the upper hand again and start to change some of these things. And astrologically speaking, September, October, November is fucked. Like, there is stuff coming down. And I was like, what could that possibly be? You know, beginning of 2020, no pandemic yet. What could that possibly be? Well, I know there's going to be an election. Now I'm like, is he not going to leave the office if he loses? Rachel, what's going on in your house because you've got a teenager.
So in our school district, we're not going back until November at the earliest, which I think I honestly don't see us going back until the spring, if not, if at all. I don't know. I'm just not very optimistic about that.
Wow.
I feel like our state leadership has been decent with this. The governor is very considerate of all the situations going on, and they are feeding kids in the school still. So you can still go and get a meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ours too.
There are programs that maintained here too. Yeah.
But, I mean, my stepson, he has a lot of learning difficulties and he's on the autism spectrum. So he gets a lot of help at school. And I'm just not sure exactly. I mean, this kind of tends to fall on me because I'm the person who is able to help with this area of his life. His dad also hated school and so is kind of trying to get over his own traumas with that himself and working on that. But like, my stepson just won't accept help from anybody else but me, really. So I'm not even sure. I haven't really wrapped my mind around it, how exactly we're going to do it, because it's like hours of my day if we stay caught up, and I don't know if I have that bandwidth at this point. So, I mean, also he has a completely open spleen in human design. Mm-hmm. He's terrified of the virus, and I want to honor that. I don't want to send him back into this environment. He already has anxiety where he's going to go into this anxiety spiral. So I'm just already thinking about like, what's our long-term plan if he never goes back to that kind of environment? Because while I feel it is socially kind of good because he has some relationships with adults, he has some relationships with kids, not really friends exactly, but at least he like kind of gets some of that energy out. But he also comes home with like a lot of anxiety and like acts that out on the house. So in a lot of ways, the last few months have been a lot more peaceful. So
yeah.
I'm not totally convinced that that was the best environment.
You bring up a good point. Like, there are a ton of kids who have additional needs or have learning disabilities. What's happening with those kids? You know, there's usually like an aide in the class. Is the aide a part of a cohort now? Jasmine, you said there's been a lot more hires. That's exciting to hear because class sizes should be smaller to begin with. But I think a big thing too is teacher safety. I was speaking with a friend who is a teacher and she's pregnant and she's like, we don't know what happens long-term to people who get this or what happens to the fetus or, you know, I'm terrified to go and teach. But then there are people who are, or God, there's another thing I was reading about, like the wealthy just buying teachers out, just buying a teacher, giving them a salary and say, teach these four kids, you know, and it's the teacher's like, okay, like at the end of the day, I got to get a paycheck.
Listen, if I could do that, I would do it. Because homeschooling, virtual schooling, three kids and three different things, one of which is ADHD. Like she's like, oh yeah, no, bird. I'm not going to like do any of it. The youngest one, I'm like, Vivi, you have to read. We're going to read for 30 minutes. 1 minute into it, she's like, how much time do I have left? How much time?
That's exactly what my stepson is like. It's like herding cats just with the ADHD, which I mean, I don't blame him. He doesn't want to focus on this stuff. It's like, oh, wait, this, that. And I'm like, for the love of God, let's just get this done for the two of us. Like, I'm just like,
oh my God, I would snap.
It gets pretty intense. And then everybody's got a different learning style. And
oh, okay. So I have got one learning style to kind of figure out. So I feel okay with that. It's more so like I'm working, like I work at home and it is, and I'm the teacher in our house. I've written curriculum, you know, I've taught adults, but I can kind of, you know, and I know my kid, but I am going to lean on my partner who's home, but he's not, I guess, a teacher in that way that we would think, but he's now so on board. And he's saying to me, he's like, you're overthinking it. Like it's, you're trying to make it the school system at home. It's not that. It doesn't need to be that.
No, it can just be whatever. I've been into the whole kind of unschooling thing. I've been sort of into that for a long time before I had kids. I just was interested and I would read books about it all the time. And especially seeing like our house with just the way my partner is, the way my stepson is, like the two of them, they're always learning. They're always doing things. They're always doing projects. I just feel like school is basically a machine and a system to teach people to serve capitalism. And I'm not sure he learns that much there.
Yeah. Like I was just saying this yesterday that by my sophomore year, freshman year of high school, I never should have taken one more math class. I don't use any of it. I'm not mathematic in any way. I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody would tell me like, oh, that did serve me in some way, but I don't think failing geometry three times was good for my self-esteem. But I could have taken some art, you know, or taken the other stuff that I wanted to take and
yes,
just let those kids who want to do math go do math.
No, and then kids all graduate and they have no idea what to do with themselves because they've just been going through the motion of like, here are the lessons I have to take and I have no idea what I'm interested or what I like for my life. I'm just cattle. I'm just being herded like cattle.
And they can learn it all on YouTube. Like we don't even really need school anymore.
Totally. There are 11-year-olds who can create apps. Okay. I can't create an app. Like these kids are just able to do different things now. But that's a whole other thing. I mean, the kids do need a Wi-Fi access. You know, what if the kids are having virtual school? Do they have a device at home?
Our school district gives that to everybody.
Not everywhere here. Definitely not everywhere here.
Us too. We have that.
So it sounds like there's a different plan absolutely everywhere. AC, when I first brought this up, you were like, I don't see how this could possibly work. What are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I want to hear from AC.
I mean, schools should definitely be closed. Any parent who sends their kid back to school, that is dangerous. I'm not blaming them or anything like that. I just think that, you know, the whole capitalistic structure is kind of fucking parents who have to send their kids back to school because it's not fair. That's you're literally playing Russian roulette with your children's life, with the teacher's life, and your own life. I will say this, that I am very thankful that I do not have children at this time. I would probably have a nanny, so I wouldn't be, no offense to anyone homeschooling, that's not my ministry. I wouldn't be doing it. Yeah, I would love my kid, but teaching them and educating them on that level, I don't have the patience for that or the energy, so they'd really be fucked. I'm like, well, figure it out. You want to come to work with mom and do some spiritual self-development?
We're working on our laptops today. Yeah.
Right. Like, let's paint something. Like, I wouldn't, thinking about my parents, my dad would probably have taken me out of school, period. They would be like, oh, well, you're never going back. Like, he just, and like, you'll just come and learn from me. And then that'll be that. I really don't have too many solid opinions because I don't know what it's like. I mean, I have a dog. I can't imagine having to make that decision. And then it's also makes me think about 4 years ago when 2.3 million for certain women voted for someone. And look where we're at now. And I look at, so, and if she listens to this, she listens to this. I looked at, so on my Facebook, I had posted something about Kamala and Joe Biden, and someone who I consider cool. She said that she's not going to vote for Joe Biden. And so another one of my Facebook friends was like, well, then what are you going to do? And she was just like, it was in the vein of not necessarily Trump, but whoever else is like on the ticket. My other Facebook friend was like, so you're saying that, you know, pretty much what you guys are all feeling. And she was just like, well, you do me and I'm gonna do you. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to unfriend her.
Yeah, you're gonna have to unfriend her. This is a political, socioeconomic, it's everything.
And she also sent her child to school. And so, and talking about this, and you know, if she listens, I still love you, girl. I have a little...
You don't know. Hold on. Heart energy here. You don't have to fucking do that. Fuck that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Everybody is in a complex
situation.
Look
at me like,
I'm so intense, but like, hello. That's hello.
Well, because I've, you know, and I read something, I think Ava DuVernay, it's been going around, like it went viral, especially for us in the United States. Yeah. It's either you're voting for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, or you're with Trump, regardless if you vote or not. It's like, it's no in between anymore. Like, we don't have that option as Americans at this juncture. So I say all that to say, with the school system, we are in this position in America because of the way we voted the last time. Like, I don't understand what was going on, where you thought it was going to be the best country on earth from a reality star, but
well, it was all just a marketing ploy. Like, we now know you can't have a fair election in America just strictly based on data points that are collected and how social media is used to skew these things. Like we literally know that now.
We're almost like, I just want people in the, you know, USA to think about this. We're at a point now when November comes, we will all be risking our lives to actually go vote.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
And all this shit going down trying to prevent people from mail-in voting.
They're taking away mailboxes.
Like, can everybody just see what's happening here?
That's crazy. Like, I even said, I'm just going to have to get up really early in the morning. And if I have to stand online all day, I'll just have to do that. I shouldn't have to do that.
You shouldn't have to do that.
This is not 1958, where in some countries, you know, especially Black people had to walk miles, take bus trips to just vote. There's the voting place where I go vote at is literally like 7 miles away from where I live. It takes me 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I'm going to, I can probably get my vote and you can take it there, like the mail-in vote and take it there. That's what I'll probably wind up doing. But if, who knows if I'll get that in time. Like, it's so many things. And it's just like, for someone to say, well, I don't like Joe Biden, so I don't want to vote for him. It's like, you don't really have a choice. You're missing the whole point.
You're missing the point.
That you are being forced to have to make that decision, that we only have two choices. There's not an in-between. There's not whoever's on the ticket, and it just doesn't make any sense. I look at, when you talk about kids now and how it's affecting them, their level of generational trauma is going to be very different than ours. You know, we had being kidnapped, you know, and like that was big, like being kidnapped of, you know, when I was growing up, don't get kidnapped and, you know, things like that. Now theirs is going to be connection in a way.
How traumatizing. If you go hug your friend, we're going to scold you at school. How traumatizing. The social anxiety, like this is going to affect these kids for the rest of their lives.
Right. My biggest fear was getting kidnapped. Now theirs is going to be, you know, connecting with people and touching someone. And that is an unfortunate kind of thing.
And I have to say, like Rachel, you were talking about your stepson's anxiety. My little guy's 5 and he definitely was affected and was feeling anxiety. Like we would go out and he didn't want to interact with his cousins. And he would look at me because he didn't know, because he's hearing about germs and you know, and a lot of people are like, a lot of peaceful parenting advocates are like, don't tell your kids what they don't need to know. In my house, I like to talk things through with my kid about, we don't lie, we talk about everything. And I just think of like someone like him going to his teacher and being like, are we going to die from COVID? And the teacher's like, what'd your mom say?
My mom said we might. Like, my mom said there's a possibility if I lick people that I might.
Also, we have to give them some credit because they came ready for this. They know how to form connections online. It's just a different world. And it's like for my stepson, his, you know, he has a hard time making connections in person with other kids. But through like YouTube and the channels that he likes to watch, then usually we go to Vancouver, Canada every summer to like a big convention for his favorite YouTuber. And he connects with people there and he connects with the YouTube stars and stuff. So that was a bummer. We had to miss that this year, but like that has been his vehicle for connecting with people. So it's cool that kids are able to do that so young, because then they're not like looking around at the couple hundred kids in their grade and feeling like no one's like me, like it was for us, and being like little emo kids in our bedrooms.
Okay, but that's another thing. Parents right now, a lot of parents really are policing their kids with how much they're on technology. That's our own shit. That's our own shit to work through. It's not about our kids.
My older 2 daughters are, they're hermits. They're so happy and they don't care. They're like, oh, this is great. Now I don't have to be awkward about hugging anybody ever again. They're stoked.
But I think of this too, for like the rise of non-sacral beings and awareness around non-sacral beings operating differently. I didn't think that, of course, that would apply to the school system as well. It's not just work. You know, so non-sacral beings, we educate people like us, and we say, you're not designed for 9 to 5. You're designed to work a little bit differently. So this world might be quite tiring for you. I didn't think to apply that to the school system as well, that the school system could be so exhausting for non-sacral kids. And it makes sense that, you know, with the workforce having to adjust, that the school system would have to adjust to accommodate non-sacral beings, which could be what's happening right now, you know, big picture. Because school is really just preparation to enter the workforce. It's like getting them to like 9 to 3, that used to that 9 to 3 schedule. So they're prepared for the 9 to 5 schedule. The school system was designed for that, to prepare kids for that. And you got a projector kid, a manifestor kid, a reflector kid in school. School is exhausting. Then you put them in an extracurricular. Fuck no. I skipped Canadian history 35 times. Get out of there. I don't want to have any part of that. I was on student council, so I would do the like morning announcements, like I'm going to play the national anthem. Here's what you need to know. So it's like my voice on the speaker in the school. And then my teacher is like, okay, I heard her. I know she's here. And I just wouldn't go. And she would find me and be like, I literally heard you on the morning announcements. You can't skip Canadian history. I'm so sorry, Miss Playfair, but it was so fucking boring. I didn't want to be there. Moral for me here, all systems are going to be shifting to accommodate an expanding energetic world. It's not about just working like a generator in this generator world, because a lot of generator kids love the school system, the rhythm of it, you know, going in and it's, and like, I liked school for all intents and purposes. Like I loved the social aspect of school. And that's really what I worry about the most for my kid, not getting the socialization, but we're also supposed to be social distancing. So I feel like I'm at a lose-lose, but I don't want him to not be able to interact with anybody when he's an adult. But if he also goes into the school system and he's being literally punished for interacting incorrectly, he's still going to have problems.
Yeah. I think too, even just knowing about digestion, that part, like I just learned about that with all my kids. And, you know, I have two, I think a calm and a low determination. And so it's like hard for them. Yeah. Like hard for them at school, you know, to be in this huge cafeteria with like lights and smells and kids everywhere and all this noise. And I used to, I mean, I would get irate with them when they would come home from school and be like, open their lunchbox and go, you didn't eat one thing. You didn't eat anything. And they're, I couldn't eat. There's too much happening. So there's a lot of things I think that could be changed, like being able to stand up while you learn things in classrooms, you know, being able to move around. I mean, I stand up and eat, like I'm like a total, I'm a mover and a shaker and a hummer and never really like a sit down and like get focused on things person.
I'm left. And so when I get focused, I'm really focused and I miss a lot. Like I don't see a lot. And my kid is the opposite. And if I catch myself, cause I'm like, okay, buddy, focus. And it's like, right. That's literally not how he learns. We've got to do it. We've got to go for a walk and talk about it or whatever. But then it's a struggle for me, but it's not about me in that sense. You know, if we have this awareness, which my parents didn't have when raising me, we can help them go so much farther. Like human design is for children. It's said over and over again, it is for children, but we need somebody to teach it to kids. We need that whole generation to really integrate it into their life and then apply it and raise kids with that kind of awareness or raise your kids without putting so much of yourself, your patterns and habits on kids. That leads me to this thing I wanted to talk about. The school system isn't actually there for kids according to what we know about their design. Like a lot of kids slip through the cracks. A lot of kids with left brains are called ADD or ADHD because they can't pay attention to so many things. And it's like, we actually just have to understand what your child's brain is doing and that your child's brain is designed to be obsessive and focus on something. It just happens to not be the thing you want them to focus on, you know? And then being there for the kids and what the kids need to learn holistically. And I think if this class sizes or education sizes were smaller, the school system was reevaluated, we used human design as a tool to understand how a child's brain and consciousness works, we could actually show up for them in a much better way that lets them thrive rather than tries to assimilate them into a one method of school, which really is very strategic and does not service anybody who is right-brained or right-minded. So can someone do that? can someone make that adjustment out there for us, please?
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.